We invite you to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. And over the next number of weeks, I want to do just a short series on gospel texts in the book of Proverbs. Gospel texts in the book of Proverbs. And I trust that the Lord will use these to the salvation of precious souls. And certainly there are many verses that we could turn to in the book of Proverbs that would point us clearly to the Saviour. And certainly this gospel text is found in Proverbs chapter 12. We're commencing to read at verse number 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. And he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoureth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And it's verse number 15 that I want to leave before you. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. We praise thee, Lord, that there is truth and there is counsel from above. We pray, Lord, you'll give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. O Lord, may our will be obedient to the will of God. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt work miracles within hearts tonight. Cause people to see the reality of how they truly stand before God. And for those who are not saved, cause them to fall down before thee in repentance, calling upon thee in faith, that they too might be written in the Lamb's book of life, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, as we come before thee tonight, pray you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit. Give me help to deliver thy truth, and may that truth find a resting place in the hearts of men and women and young people throughout this world. We do pray these things for the glory of thy name and the extension of thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every day we make decisions about how we are going to live our lives. There are many different ways of living that are advocated in this world. There are so many voices that are telling men and women, boys and girls, what life is all about and how to get the best out of life and how to live it to make it the best it can be. And with so many contradictory messages and teachings being hurled at throughout this world, how can we be sure what is the right one? How can we make the wise choices as to how to live our lives? Each person that is listening to my voice tonight or watching this broadcast has only one life. We are only given one life to live. There is a beginning and there is an end. And currently you're somewhere in between the two. Not only do you have one life, but Scripture teaches us that that life is precious and that it is short. Even the longest life, the life that goes past the century, the life that goes into the 102nd, 3rd, 4th, or 5th, 6th year, that life is short when compared to eternity. Oh yes, the Bible declares life is precious and life is short. Yet, whenever we look around in the world in which we're living, there are many people that live with a different opinion of life. Rather than saying that life is precious and a gift from God, we live in a society that largely has a very low view of life. They do not see it as precious at all. In fact, they've such a low view of life and the gift of life that they believe it's optional. They can take the life of an unborn baby and call it choice rather than murder. And there's a bill even being pushed at this moment in the Republic of Ireland to bring into law a bill to make euthanasia legal. Sometimes described as mercy killing, it is defined as the practice of intentionally ending a life to relieve pain and suffering. In other words, not only are people trying to take the choice of birth out of the hands of God, they're also trying to take the choice of death out of the hands of God. We are not to call for an end to life, whether at its beginning or whether coming near the closing moments of life. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. The Lord has appointed the day of birth, and the Lord has appointed the day of our death. But many people don't see life as precious at all. They willingly stand by and see people hurt themselves and scar themselves with the drugs of this old world. And they don't really care. Why? Because life isn't precious at all. And Scripture also tells us that life is short. But in our society, we don't live that way. In our society, we do boast ourselves of tomorrow. Not only tomorrow, but next month and next year. And the way we live our lives is in contradiction to Scripture, because the Bible says that we ought to boast not ourselves of tomorrow. And therefore today, men and women and young people are living as if they will never die. They're making preparation for old age with the assumption that they're going to reach it. They're making preparation for retirement with the assumption they're going to experience it. They seek to have a comfortable life, but with no thought of death or eternity, or they certainly seek to put such thoughts out of their mind. Why do people live in such a manner? Why do people live with such a low view of life? Why do people live as if they're never going to die? Well, the answer is very simple. It's because of the sinful nature with which man is born. We are born into this world as sinners. And the word fool here in verse number 15 of Proverbs chapter 12 really is, that is what it means. It means a sinner or a fool. Someone who's a fool in the eyes of God because of the life that they are living, because of the way that they are living. Someone who does not receive wisdom and someone who will not receive truth is classified as a fool and therefore as a sinner. That is why we have the problems that we have in the world today, because of sin. What is sin? Well, the Bible, or the Westminster Confession of Faith, tells us in question 14, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And that's the catechism from the Confession of Faith. So it is a lack of obeying the law of God by neglect, the things that we don't do that God commands us to do. But it's also breaking the law by our thoughts and by our words and our deeds. So therefore, sin is the transgression of the law. It's the things that we don't do, which we should do. It's the things that we do that we shouldn't do. And the Lord has declared that there's none righteous, no, not one. We are born with that sinful nature. And therefore, when we come to this proverb, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it is speaking first of all about the sinner and about the sinner going on his normal way of life. And firstly, in this proverb, we see the condemnation, the condemnation. It says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, the word way there, it means a road or a course of life. And therefore, it's talking about the way you travel in life, the way you live your life, the decisions that you make. And a sinner believes his way to be profitable, to be wise, and to be right. And such is the sinfulness in the heart of an individual that they can be so self-assured that their course of action in life is perfect, that they neglect to consult anyone else or anything else regarding the decisions that they make. My way is best, they say, but remember, those are the thoughts of the fool. Those are the thoughts of the sinner. Are you sitting tonight without God thinking, I've got it all figured out? Oh, I know what life's all about. I know that the end of my life will be okay because I've sorted things out in my mind and I've got everything under control. The Bible says the way of a fool or a sinner is right in his own eyes. You see, the sinner is born spiritually blind. And as a result of that spiritual blindness or that sin, he or she does not see sin for what it really, truly is. It brings devastation. It brings devastation in life. It brings devastation in death. It brings devastation in eternity. Now, sin costs, but the sinner is blinded to this knowledge. He cannot see how sinful sin really is. He cannot see the consequences of his sin. Sometimes sin costs us in life with immediate results because we've done something sinful and we face the consequences of it or the punishment of it. But many times sin is not called out or sin is not punished until after, long after it is committed, past, even forgotten about by the sinner. But let me tell you this, there's no sin that the sinner commits that will not be dealt with and that will not be punished. There's a verse in Psalm 78 and verse 32, and it says, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. For all this they sinned still. And it's referring to the history of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, they had seen God's mighty power in bringing them out of Egypt, in opening the Red Sea by that wind that he sent, in providing protection, food, and water in the midst of the desert to keep them alive. They had also seen God's anger at sin. They had heard his judgments and seen some of his judgments being acted out. They'd heard his warnings. They'd seen the result of disobedience. Yet, in spite of the blessings that they saw and of God's judgment upon sin that they saw, the Bible says, for all this, they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. In spite of God's goodness, in spite of his judgments, in spite of his teachings, his commandments, and his warning, they continued in their sin. Is that your testimony tonight? In spite of all this, in spite of all the gospel messages, in spite of all the Sunday school lessons, in spite of all the memory verses, in spite of all the gospel meetings, in spite of all the times that someone has tried to win you for the Lord, for all this, you're sinning still. In spite of the times that the Lord has allowed you to feel the consequences of your sin, in spite of the fact that you know people who have wrecked their lives in sin, for all this, you're still continuing in your sin. Thomas Watson, the old Puritan, wrote much about sin and its effects on the life of the unregenerate sinner. And he said, sin has made the sinner not only sick, but senseless. Through sin, he will face death and hell, yet he is so blind that he keeps on sinning. The sinner in his sin doesn't realize how heinous sin is. In Psalm 10, verse 13, it says, wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? Wherefore doth a wicked, why does a wicked contemn God? Or why does a wicked despise God? Why does a wicked act out against God? Why do they do this? Because all sin is against God. All sin is against God. The sinner doesn't realize how foolish sin is, because to continue sinning against God is to sin against the only one who can save the soul. The sinner sins against the only one who can truly satisfy his soul and make life worth living, and even death worth dying. But to continue to sin, what foolishness, offending and sinning against the only one who can help you. The sinner doesn't realize how hopeless sin is. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 15, in the midst of their wickedness, here's what the people said. We looked for peace, but no good came. A time of health, and behold, trouble. You see, this is how the sinner lives. They look for good things. They look for the blessings of life. They think they can continue in their sin and in their rejection of God and rejection of the gospel and rejection of scripture and yet prosper with love and with joy and with peace and with happiness. But the reality is, any pleasure that a sinner experiences in their lifetime is only for a little moment. It's only a little blip in eternity, because there is a price to be paid. There's always consequences for sin. Thomas Watson again said, sin is a mere cheat. While it pretends to please us, it beguiles us. Sin first courts us, and then it kills us. Judas pleased himself with 30 pieces of silver, but they proved deceitful riches. Ask him now how he likes his bargain. If we could go tonight into hell and ask Judas Iscariot, was it worth it, the 30 pieces of silver? Was it worth it for the few moments you held it in your hand? Was it worth it for the time you lusted after it and thought about it and desired it? Was it worth it? After 2,000 years in hell, what do you think the answer is? Well, what about you? Is the thing that you long for so much, the sin that keeps you from Christ, is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it in hell? Of course not. There's no such thing as easy sin, because there's always a hard consequence. The ways of the sinner are many. You see, it says here, the way of the fool, or the way of the sinner, is right in his own eyes. There are many different ways that the sinner lives in this world. For example, there's the religious way. And that simply is following a system of beliefs that's contrary to Scripture. Now, for some, it's a complete different religion, and they're following some other false god. But for others, it may be that they have some of the teachings of Scripture and then they add it with something else. And friend, that's a false religion as well. And you might be a religious person, but if you've never repented of your sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to come into your heart, to be your Savior, to cleanse you in His precious blood, friend, you're a religious sinner, bound for hell. There's the religious way. There is the rebellious way. And that's those who are living publicly in rebellion to God. They claim to be atheists or Satanists. There are those who mock and blaspheme or seek to persecute and silence those who are born again Christians. And they take delight on the fact that they stand on the side that's against God. They love to mock and they love to try and cause disruption and trouble to the church, and they are pleased and they smile whenever they hear of a church suffering persecution. And they're living in direct rebellion. Some are trying to get the Bible silenced in schools. Some are trying to get the Bible right out of society in general. Oh, they are living in the rebellious way. There are those who are living in the righteous way. And when I mean this, I mean self-righteous way. They're living a good life. They're nice people, trying to be the best, to be kind, caring, helpful, useful to society. There are many good people, as it were, in society. They're kind. They would help you. They'd be the first at your door if there was a need. but it's self-righteousness. They're not saved by the grace of God. And many are depending that that's a good way to live life, and the results of that will be pleasing when it comes to the end of the journey. And then there is a respected way. And when I say respected, I mean respected in the world today. Now, there are different ways people can be respected in the world. For many, it's about having a good job or a nice home or good clothes, a good family, times of fun with your friends and holidays and all that. Just what you can get out of life. And that's all of what it's about. For others, it's about fame or fortune or popularity. How do I know that this is respected way in the eyes of the world? Because they will go to the rich and to the famous for their views on particular matters, but they don't rush to the church to hear what their views are or to ask what the scriptural view is. They don't run to the born-again Christian. No, why? They're not respected. But they run to the rich and the famous and often immoral and wicked and sinful in this world for their opinion. Why? Because the world respects them for the way that they are living. And many seek to attain to live that way also. There are, of course, countless different courses and ways that sinners can live. We haven't time tonight to go into every different aspect. But how sad it is to think that there are people who are living their lives upon what they think is right. They think they've got it all sorted out. They've listened to the system of the world, the media of the standard of the media as regards to what's right or wrong. They've listened to friends, they've listened to popular culture, and they've got settled in their mind, this is the way I'm going to live my life. And the reality is this, that the devil doesn't really mind what you listen to or to whom you listen, as long as you do not listen to the word of God, to the gospel, or to the preaching of biblical truth. The devil is happy with you to be anything you want to be, to travel any way you want to travel, as long as it doesn't include God. But you're not asked to go the way that you think is best. You're not asked to try your best in this world. The Bible tells us that we are to go the true way. We are to go the right way. And how do we know what the true way is? How do we know what the right way is? We know by coming to the revelation of the one who is called the truth. And God has given us this book to instruct us in the way in which we ought to go. And if you follow this book will lead you to God. And it will lead you to heaven. It'll lead you to Calvary. It'll lead you to truth. Because this is truth. Every single word has been given from God. And therefore, we've looked at the condemnation. Sinners going their own way, believing it to be right in their own eyes. But secondly, we come to the revelation because it says here, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And the word counsel there, I want to use that and call it revelation. Because I do believe that this is speaking about specific counsel. How do I know that? Well, it said there in verse number 5, the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So therefore, we know that it's not talking about such counsel. We know in the context of the book of Hebrews that the counsel that the wise follows after is the counsel of the scriptures. The word counsel means advice or plan. And therefore, there is no need for you, dear sinner, to continue in your sin or your confusion or your darkness when the word of God is available to speak to your soul. God is able to reveal truth to your soul. And therefore, this is speaking about listening to the counsel or the revelation of the Lord. And there's a few verses I just want to leave before you when we think about the counsel of the Lord. First of all, if you turn with me to Psalm number 33. And in Psalm 33, verse 11, it says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So all generations have been told and given the counsel of the Lord, right from Adam, right through to this very day. There's not one generation that has passed by in this world where there has not been a witness from the Lord or a revelation from the Lord. And it says, they will stand forever. God's word will not fail. God's word will not change. God's word abideth forever. And therefore, if the Lord says that this is the right way to go, then it's the right way to go. If the Lord warned you about something that's foolish, then it will always be foolish. Now, 1,000 years ago, 1,000 years in the future, it will always be foolish. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Now, what's interesting about that verse is the contrast that it makes with the verse before it, because it says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. And you see, your counsel and the world's counsel and the media's counsel, for a large part, and all of the different things that people teach you about and the different ways of living and the different advice that you get, friend, if it's not in line with the word of God, it'll be brought to naught. It'll be seen to be worthless. It'll be seen to be, for what it is, absolutely nothing. And therefore, you need to be very careful about the counsel that you're following, the counsel that you're receiving, the counsel that you're accepting, because if it's of the heathen, if it's of the ungodly, if it's against the word of God, it's brought to naught and it will bring you to hell. That's why he says the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. We don't need to turn to it, but it just says in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We can depend upon them. But a second thing, if you turn to Acts chapter 20, and in Acts chapter 20, verse number 27, we read these words. And it says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. And here we find not only is God's counsel eternal in that it will stand forever, but God's counsel is Scripture. How do we know the will of God? We come to the Word of God. How do we know the way to heaven? We come to the Word of God. How do we know how to live life in a way that we are blessed, satisfied, saved? We come to the Word of God. And that's why we have to be so careful about the advice that we take. I'm asking you, have you ever opened the Bible to see what God says about you? Have you ever taken time to hear what your Creator has said about you? You see, God's counsel or God's revelation or God's plan or God's truth is eternal. It's also scriptural. But you turn back to Proverbs in the chapter 19, Proverbs 19, and you'll find that God's counsel prepares men and women and boys and girls for the time they will leave this world. And in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20, it says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And the Bible teaches us here, if you hear this truth and receive instruction, you will be wise in your latter end. Have you ever taken time to think about your latter end? Have you ever taken time to think about where you will be one moment after you draw your final breath? Heaven or hell? The arms of the Savior or the caverns of the damned? Where will you be in eternity? And this Bible tells me that if you hear God's truth and receive it, you will be wise in your latter end. Therefore, if you reject it, you will die as a fool in your sin. In fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 21, just a page over there, Proverbs 21 verse 30, there is no wisdom or understanding nor counsel against the Lord. Oh, there are many arguments against the Lord, but none of them will stand. Nobody will prosper by going against God's word. Oh, millions have tried it over the centuries. They've tried to go their way. They know better than God. And friend, where has it ended? It's ended in hell. Where are you going to be in eternity? What advice are you listening to? What instruction are you following? There's much deceitful counsel we've already considered, that the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And then one more verse, just in Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. And whenever we come to this particular book, we come to verse number 11, and it says, "Now also, many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor." You see, there are many looking upon, even today, the nation of Israel. And they hate Israel. And they want Israel to be defeated. And they want to take land off of Israel. And they want to cause that the people to cease and not be a nation anymore. And there's people today in this world. And that's the way they're living. But the Bible says they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither they understand his counsel. They don't understand that by going after Israel, that land upon which the Lord has set a blessing upon, they're going against God. There are many people today going against the church of Jesus Christ. There are many people today taking lawsuits and actively persecuting and trying to discourage and trying to hinder the work of the gospel. But here's the thing. As they go against that which God loves, they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for the Lord will deal with them. And here's the thing. There are many people today, and that's the advice they're following. The advice of those who persecute the church. The advice of those who promote sin. The advice of those who seek to live as if there were no God. So my question tonight to you, considering God's counsel is eternal, it is essentially scripture. It prepares you for the time you will leave this world, and that no one prospers by going against God's counsel, and that to ignore it is to act foolishly and in a futile manner, because you cannot win against God. What are you doing with his counsel? What are you doing with his truth and with his word? And if we read the rest of the verse in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it tells us what we ought to do. You see, we've looked at the condemnation against the fool who thinks his way is right. We've looked at the revelation that God has given and that he has given counsel. But finally, let us look at the commendation, that which God commends. And it's in the second clause of the verse. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The word hearkeneth means to hear intelligently, not just to listen, but to hear with the view of obeying. It could also be read, he that is wise hearkeneth unto counsel. Why? Because they're showing that he or she cannot find truth in and of themselves. They know that God is truth and the source of all truth. And therefore, if we want to know wise counsel and truth that will help us to live lives that are worthwhile and blessed in time, and then to face eternity with peace and even anticipation of what lies ahead, then we must ensure that we have truth upon which we can act. What is the counsel of the Lord teaching us tonight? What is wise advice to listen to and act upon right this very moment? Well, I believe there are three things in Scripture that I want to leave before you that I believe are parts of the counsel of God that are necessary for us to consider when we consider the way that we are traveling. First of all, God's counsel teaches us that there is an end to the way that you are traveling. For every single one of us, we're on a journey. And that journey is going to end someday, somewhere, and some way. And Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, which is almost exactly the same way or the same thought as expressed in our text tonight. But the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, you thought you were right, but now you're in hell. You assumed you had it all figured out, now you're in hell. You see, you cannot get to heaven your way. There are not a variety of ways, but there is one way. There is one way that God has ordained for us to get to heaven. One way to have sins forgiven. One way to know peace with God. One way to have a right relationship with God. It is possible that you're trusting in your religion, your lifestyle, your good living, your financial contributions, or your attendance at a place of worship, sincerely trusting, but sincerely wrong. One of the greatest tactics of the devil today is to cause people to be offended by words such as these. Oh, you can't really say that there's one way because that excludes and offends and hurts everybody else. And therefore, you so-called ministers and churches that join hand in hand with people that preach a false gospel, another way, and sit silently by when they actually know the truth. And as others march headlong to hell because nobody wanted to offend them by telling them that there's only one way to be right with God. And who do they not want to offend? They don't want to offend the souls that are blindly walking to hell. Imagine. I don't want to offend a soul that's walking to hell. Friend, we have to preach one way of salvation. We have to preach of repentance from sin and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is what God has declared in his word. Now, some will be offended. Some will hate us. Some will despise us for saying it. But praise God, we will be free from the blood of their hands, of their souls. It will not be in our hands. We warn them. We communicate to sinners that there is good news. Good news from heaven for them. There's a Savior who truly saves, and he will save all that come to him. And therefore, I encourage God's people who are watching tonight, is there someone you could pray for today? Someone who's closer to hell than they've ever been before that you could take time to pray for today? Someone you could seek to reach today? Someone you could speak to today? We must work the works of him that sent us while it is day. For the light night cometh when no man can work. Not only is there an end to the way you're traveling, and if you're traveling in your sin, the end is hell. But if you're saved by the grace of God, praise God, that end is heaven. Not only is there an end to the way you've been traveling, but there is also a God before whom we must stand. It says in Proverbs 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. The Lord judges. The Lord sees the heart for what it is. He weighs it in the balance of righteousness and truth, the Bible commentator says. He has a perfect knowledge of them, and he knows whether the way is right or not. You see, God will have the final say over every life. He has been appointed as a judge of mankind. It's not me that's the judge. Friend, it's not you, it's not those who set them up as the authorities over all things in this world, but rather God will judge by his word, by this book, by this standard. That's why we need to read it. That's why we need to know it. And if we have trusted the Lord for salvation, and we've asked the Lord to be our Savior, then praise God, there's nothing to fear in the judgment. We'll be welcomed as the child who's come home. But if we live in sin and die in sin, or are found as a sinner when the Lord comes back to earth at his second coming, then we'll be cast into hell and out of the presence of God and into the place of the damned. And their eternal suffering shall be our portion. You see, you will not dictate to God. You will not dictate to God. You will stand before him as he pronounces his judgment on you. And in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're almost through tonight, Proverbs chapter 1, we read about what happens when men reject the Lord. And if you have time, I encourage you to read from verse 24 down to verse 33. But I just want to highlight just a couple of verses. Verse 24, it says, I have called, and ye refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Look at these words. And ye have said it not all my counsel. You said it to be nothing. You think so little of it. And he says, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. It's coming. Oh, dear sinner, you mightn't be afraid tonight. Dear sinner, you might be sitting there rejoicing in your sin. Can't wait to get out and engaged in it a little bit more. But there's a day coming when fear will fall upon your soul as you stand before God. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Too late. Too late to beg God's mercy in eternity. Why? For they hated knowledge. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. You see, there's results for the way that you live. There's results for the choices that you make, and the results of rejecting God's counsel whenever you stand before him in judgment, even pleading at that moment for forgiveness, you'll be cast into hell. What does the Lord want us to know? Well, first of all, that there is a way, an end to the way that you're traveling. Secondly, there is a God before whom we will stand. And finally, there's wisdom when we go God's way. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Underline that word, those words. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. To fear the Lord is to respect the Lord or to reverence the Lord. Realize that he is your creator. He is your judge. He is the savior of sinners. He's provided a way for you to be saved from your sin by trusting in the Savior. His dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood, opening up the way for man to be free from sin and to travel the right way, the only way to heaven. You see, the Bible reminds us in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that wickedness of our going our own way, that sinfulness, that guilt and that shame and all of that record of sin was placed upon Christ. Praise God, whenever we're saved by his grace, we've nothing to fear because that sin has been punished. Not in us, but in the substitute, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung upon the cross. And ultimately, we cannot fear God unless we are trusting in the Lord, trusting upon him for salvation, calling upon him to save us. And where true faith is exercised, so true will true repentance be exercised. Faith and repentance go together. And it says in Proverbs 3 and 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Repent from it. Turn away from it. Your evil thoughts, your words, your actions. The way that you're traveling, the way that you're living in your sin. You see, it is a joy for the sinner to repent from that, which will cause their soul to be found in hell. When God brings conviction upon the sinner, it'll be a joy to repent from their sin because it offends the Lord. It has destroyed their life. And Thomas Watson said, and I quoted him earlier, but finally I say this, these words of his, till sin be bitter, Christ will not be sweet. And the problem is for many people, they're enjoying the pleasures of sin. And there's no attraction, as it were, in Christ. And my heart's desire is that the Lord would bring the bitterness of sin into lives tonight, that they may see it's Christ that truly satisfies. Not sin, not waywardness, not your own way, but Christ. What is there in sin that would cause you to continue in your foolish way? What is there in sin that's worth an eternity in hell? You see, facts do not cease to exist because they're ignored. And you can ignore this message tonight. You can ignore this verse tonight. You can ignore these truths tonight. But they still are true. And friend, they'll be brought before you on the day of judgment. You need to be saved from your sin. And this book is a book of revelation from God. It's a book of promises to claim, principles to apply, direction that will lead you in the paths of righteousness and the paths of blessings as you follow the Lord. And therefore, I bring you back to our text tonight. Think about these words. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Is there someone who's been living their life up to this point? I know best, I know best, I know best. But tonight God has put his finger upon you and said, no, no, no. Your way is leading you to hell. Come and be saved tonight. Will you be wise tonight? Will you come to Christ tonight? The writer said, just as I am, I'm waiting not to rid my soul of one dark spot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. O come to Christ tonight. O be wise. Come before him confessing your need of salvation. And praise God tonight as you hearken on to counsel, as you listen and obey, then you'll be saved by the grace of God. No longer the fool in his own folly, but saved through the wisdom of Christ. Let's unite our hearts together. Perhaps you're someone, and right now, you know the Lord is calling you unto himself. And you know that the time for going your own way must come to an end. The Lord is calling you to salvation, calling to the paths of righteousness, calling you to prepare to meet your God. Just now where you're at, why not call upon him to save you and ask him to come. Forgive that every sin, cleanse you in his precious blood. Be your Savior. Our gracious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we think of those tonight who are considering the things of God. We think of those tonight, Lord, who walked their own way and their own wisdom, thinking everything's okay. And Lord, tonight they've realized that God's way is the only way. And I pray, Lord, that you'll cause them to be fully persuaded. Cause them to turn from their sin and trust in thee. Oh, Lord, be merciful, we pray. Give wisdom in these days, cause people to turn away from much of the nonsense that's being published and broadcast and proclaimed in society, and cause them to open the book and to hear wisdom and to receive knowledge and to come the way of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless us tonight. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground. And what has been of thee, let it prosper to the glory of thy name. Save precious souls, we pray. For Christ's sake, we ask it.